Seminole Headlines is brought to you by Register Sausage, serving the Florida Panhandle and Lower Alabama for over 75 years. To find a store near you or to buy directly from Registers, head to registermeats.com. That's registermeats.com.
It's time for Seminole Headlines, featuring WarChant.com's Jeff Cameron, Managing Editor Ira Schofel, and Senior Writer Corey Clark. Your weekly dose of all things FSU, pistols, and pies starts right now. Here's Jeff Cameron.
Hour number two, Seminole Headlines, WarChant TV, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, and Headliner Questions. This hour brought to you by Birch Orthodontics.
Yay, braces!
Right, by orthodontist, yep. Birch Orthodontics. So things are going well. I think, I have a question. Dr. Birch does such a good job. Her staff does a good job. But I forgot to ask her the other day when we were in there, when Bryce was getting a checkup, how soon he was going to get those braces off. Because she said everything looked good. She was proud of him. She was very happy with him, that he is clearly doing the right things now.
There we go,
yeah,
Bryce.
Here, right? I see what you're doing, Bryce.
But all three of your daughters had the braces, right? Mm-hmm. So what is the normal time frame?
Well, so it depends.
Yeah, how jacked up their teeth are.
Well,
I got you.
But also, just how I think every set of teeth is a little bit different.
Sure.
Every case, and Dr. Birch
like
is going to
snowflake
give individual attention.
Or a fingerprint.
Yeah. But he's still got the rubber bands on and all that?
I think we're about done with the rubber.
Yeah, and I think once you, it seems like that was
once
late in the process.
You graduate from the rubber bands,
yeah,
it's time to ride, right?
Late in the process, and then, I do know, man, just advise Bryce to not worry. Don't, take it one day at a time.
He's not bringing it up, but I'm ready. I'm tired of looking at it. Let's go.
But, because sometimes I remember a lot of times where they were like, okay, the next time I go, I'm getting them off, and no, it didn't happen. But, Dr. Birch will know.
Oh, I don't doubt it. She's not willy-nilly guessing when those braces come off. I mean, I know that there's a plan in place.
And if you want some orthodontic care, birchorthodontics.com is the website. You can get a free consultation. They'll sit down, talk to you about your individual situation, and then also set up payment plans. They're just the best in the business, great customer service.
Tell them Headlines sent you, and you get, 90% off for the next year?
No.
Yeah. Okay.
The last thing, when did we get the music for Seminole Headlines, like the march?
How long ago the marching?
Yeah. Who is that? Tom? Did Tom pick that up?
That's been out there for a long time. T. Lizzie, when did we get the music for Seminole Headlines? He's back. He's working again this week. 5 years ago.
Because it's cool. It's just like, it sounds like we're going to war or something.
Well, we kind of are. Yeah. What we're covering right now.
We're beating this is back the pay. Suck.
This is hazard pay. Yeah, we're not doing a good job.
Suck. Yeah, I mean.
We're doing a great job.
Temporarily, for 2 hours a week, we beat back the suck for everybody.
Yeah, we do.
We're able to say, you stay out of here.
And that's probably the thing I'm most proud of is this shows.
Free zone.
This shows as good as it was in 13.
Right.
Maybe
right.
even better because we're having to bring it more.
Yeah, we do.
That to me gives me I swell with a sense of pride.
We're on the front lines of this battle with suck.
With suck. And it's an overwhelming battle. They've got us outmanned right now.
We're flanked. We're like Sherman.
They've got us surrounded. There were support
choices. Suck's
yeah.
coming from over there.
Yeah, it's the everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, General Custer made some bad decisions back in the day.
Not Sherman.
Yeah,
I meant Custer. Yeah, Sherman actually
did some things. I tried to help you without bringing attention to it. Custer made some bad choices, and you never want to give up the high ground. But hey,
whatever.
Listen, somewhere along the way, this administration gave up the high ground. And
yeah, it did.
We're just trying to do the best we can here. That's what you got to do. Mark writes, will the question from Corey go down in history as the single most defining moment that rallied everybody behind Mike Norvell? Was this his Austin 3:16 moment?
It could be his Tebow after the old man. No, you're not going to see a coach any harder than I will.
You got to be breathy and ready to cry.
Well, he didn't have that going. Unless they lose to Syracuse.
Right.
And then everybody will make fun of him for that. They'll bring it up. Just please, man. Please beat Syracuse. Not asking you to beat Clemson. Just beat Syracuse.
Noel Stacy wants to know, is it typical for refs to eat to snack on Skittles during games?
I saw somebody on Twitter theorize that maybe he's diabetic, which is I don't know how that works, how they manage their sugar levels during activities. Yeah,
probably Skittles. Who knows? I would guess.
I did like the fact that it was after was it a bad call? It was kind of like a questionable call or non-call.
It wasn't a non-call. They threw a flag for offensive pass interference.
Oh, it was that play. That's
and
right.
And then were talked out of it.
Yeah.
And it was offensive pass interference.
Yeah, it was definitely a pick play.
So how did he get talked out of it?
But then he popped some Skittles.
The guy went, it's Florida State, man. Screw these guys.
Yeah.
I'm tired of these guys. What do you mean they're tired? They've been terrible
years. They haven't won anything.
John, we got to stop with this. I mean, we've carried this over now for decades.
I do think if you're reffing a Florida State game, you stop at the store on the way in. and get some snacks.
Get some Skittles.
I mean, just any snack, you're going to be in for 4 hours
like you
of
get
bad
a call,
football.
Guys, we're ready to take the field. Where are you? I'll be right there. Do you need anything? I'm grabbing some fudge rounds.
I'm at one of these awesome gas stations.
I got a fudge round.
We get some Little Debbies.
Yeah.
Could you want anything? You
figured
want
it was a day game. I felt safe at the gas station.
They've got nerds for free if you fill up.
You know, I think
I'm not going to begrudge somebody that wants to bring snacks to a Florida State football
game.
It'd
be cool if it was a saint like a hoagie. He's just sitting there eating a hoagie.
No, he takes one bite of the turkey sandwich, wraps it back, and shoves it down into his pants for the next. All right, Preston writes, we all know that Ira loves knitting. When the weight game was a
crocheting,
loss.
Preston, crocheting.
There's a big difference.
There's real skill. Skill into the crocheting. When the weight game was a lost cause, and when it got to 31-7 on Saturday, did Ira consider breaking out the knitting gear? Crochet. Also, thank you to Corey for asking the question that's led to Mike Norvell's speech is going to save the program.
The rebirth.
Yeah, save the program.
No crocheting in the stadium. In fact, I don't know how to crochet. Although
it's crazy, I haven't even picked it up a little.
It's like living there in the heart of Mexico and not learning Spanish at all. Let's go.
Nothing but yarn at that house.
So my middle child, Alexa, who's now an FSU student living in the dorms over at FSU, she's now got a crochet posse. She's teaching kids how to play crochet, which to me is a business opportunity. I'm trying to convince them to start making stuff that I can sell.
Well, you don't have to worry about her partying at nights then, Ira. She's just crocheting, buddy. That's a good thing. That can't get too out of hand.
We'll ride that as long as we can.
Yeah. Nikki writes, one thing that still baffles me is how Norvell can have so many analysts in the coaching staff, but they're still analyzing and finding an identity for the players' positions, play calls. What the heck have they been analyzing all this time? What say you all? Well, they've had to analyze, Nikki, an awful lot of ass-sorry players. And where to move them around and how to position them in a way that does the least amount of damage to your overall effort to move a football. So
You're talking about the offensive side of the ball.
Of course. Yeah. Well,
right?
In the first quarter, you were thinking, this defense is dominant.
They got it. Fuller's got this on lock.
No. What I'm saying is there's just not a lot.
There's some deficiencies that they've got to work through.
I also don't think they're misconstruing what they're seeing. I think they're just –
I think there is some of that, though. Yeah. I mean, I do think
there's some missteps. Toa Feely on the field when you have a chance to win a game, put a game away.
No. I'm not saying they haven't made mistakes. I'm saying she's saying they're still analyzing.
Now they probably know what they have.
I think there was a stretch there where they were throwing things against the wall, hoping it stuck. Yeah. But they don't. I don't think they.
But it is odd how Parchment goes from 6 snaps to 60. Seemingly, is he a factor? Is he not? What changed? Helton doesn't play at all, really, in the second half. Toa Feely went from being, the number 3 guy. He wasn't there, but he's out of the rotation.
And
now,
defensively, Adam Fuller acknowledged that they're playing a lot more guys in the secondary than they'd like to, than he normally does. And I think it's just searching for answers. I mean, they've tried. I mean, how many different corners have started games this year? It's like half the roster. Yeah.
Jeff writes, I started to write a question asking y'all something about what happened to this team's mindset from the start of the year to now. Realized halfway through that was pointless. Not sure mindset has anything to do with it. We simply don't have good enough players. So I'll ask this, is it possible for somebody to grow tired of sympathy pie?
I don't know. You can't. I don't think so.
Tired. Yeah, he even wrote hashtag strawberry rhubarb for that ass. And elite headliner.
Okay, good. Pie is pie, right? I mean, it doesn't matter why you're getting it.
No, not all pie is the same.
No, but it's still...
You enjoy pie.
Whatever the reasoning is, you're going to not turn it away. You're not going to get tired of it.
If it's quality pie, you're not going to get tired of it, no matter what the circumstances are.
I'm saying there is pie you would turn away.
Correct.
Right, yeah. Sure.
But not because
of the reason. It's because of the way
I'm just saying, let's just not make it sound like all pie is the same.
Right.
Okay. Josh writes, Jeff, I know you don't want anything to do with the idea of head coach Deion Sanders. No, I don't. That's asinine. Stop bringing it up, everybody. We look foolish every time FSU Twitter posts it.
I love my man Rich Eisen, though. If you're ever in a foxhole, Rich Eisen's the guy. He's not going to let that die.
Is he talking about it constantly?
But would you reconsider if he brought Richard Simmons with him to be our strength and conditioning coach? Hashtag try anything at this point. Josh, that would be the only thing that would make me reconsider, because it's just as buffoonish and it would make sense.
Get the whole circus together.
That's if you're on Twitter and you follow Jeff Cameron, J. Cameron Show, who's not as active a Twitter as Corey or I, but that's your go-to. That's your go-to gift.
Yeah.
Richard Simmons.
He hasn't really come out like in the last, physically has not been seen for years. Richard Simmons, he's like disappeared.
There was a video that came out like a month or two ago where there was a tour bus, what they do.
And he was waving.
And he came out. Like he came to the.
Which
came
is
out
so nice because you heard the podcast.
Yeah, right? I listened to all that. Yeah. And he just became a recluse and like was like, what's his name? The aviator guy.
Like a month.
Howard Hughes.
Yeah, like a month or two ago, he came out and like just started talking.
All right,
to
well, good. Yeah. I always like Richard Simmons makes me smile, man.
By the way, the
Florida State grad, by the way, right? Or at least
he'd definitely make you smile.
By the way.
All right.
By the way, the best part of that podcast, when they finally go to the door, and he's speaking through the door. Remember that?
Yeah.
Towards the end, they're like, okay, he's alive.
Well, then
yeah, he's alive at least, and the guy like hasn't killed him and
well,
he's taken
all
his checks.
Well, the crazy woman, too.
Yeah, who was the woman. That's who it was. Yeah.
Stephen writes, gentlemen, we all know that if you could use some money, how about selling some of these unbroken rocks for me to the kids?
Oh, man. What are they doing with the rocks?
Dude, you got me. That's the first time. That's really well done.
For people that may not remember or know.
Steven, that's well done.
They one of the traditions that Mike Norvell brought here was they have these stones that they break, I think, after is only after wins?
After a win, yeah. And you bring the hammer down on
them. Man.
Yeah.
But they may break it. They may break it before every game.
No, anyway. I think it's only after the games, after wins.
If you get top 70 in FIMRAL's offensive efficiency,
you're breaking a rock.
Yeah. And they did it this week. So
there it is.
They're top 70 in both, really, offense and defense.
But that made me laugh.
They're saving money on stuff.
He did go on to say the money would be piling up in a hurry. Got to imagine Jacksonville State fan would pay a couple $100 for a rock slab with their logo on it.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good point.
They should present it to them after the game.
Michael writes, sausage slingers and orthodontia advocates. Can we change the scoreboards at kickoff to show we're down 31 points? Maybe they'll get the team going from the jump. Keep your eyes on the horizons and go Noles.
So they've trailed in every game, like in the first half. I mean, they were down.
They've trailed 20... at the end of every game, too. Am I right, Jeff?
They have.
Going My back point is time. They're always playing from behind. Wake Forest 24-7, this game 31-7.
Other than, I guess they were even down against Jacksonville 7-0. State, right? 7-0. But they've been down 18 or more in every other game they played.
There's a lot of great lyrics and a lot of genres of music that talk about being down for so long. Could have quoted all of them just thinking about how many times we've been down.
Yeah, down but not out.
It's just great. Well, no.
They're pretty out.
Yeah. They're pretty out. More headliner questions forthcoming here on Seminole Headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio and War Chant TV. How you doing there, podcasters? Good. Good to hear it. Listen, if you're wondering for a good place to eat, watch a game, have a cold beer, enjoy a lot of choices. We suggest Horizons Bar and Grill.
Maybe even run into us. You might see us.
You and I especially.
Yes.
I mean, I'm there once a week, I think. When I'm in town, I'm there. Stephanie and I are there. Great place. Cold beer, hot women, everything you want in a I probably shouldn't have said that.
Well, it's okay.
Hot beer and cold women at some bars.
Whatever you're into.
I like the good-looking ladies, too. That's
sure,
all right.
But
even if that's not your thing, I'll be there. I'm a good-looking guy.
And we would all agree, great food. Legitimately
the most
good
important
food.
Part of this ad is the great food.
It's great food. They got TV, sports bar. They got the vibe, but beer, food, everything you could want. And most importantly, again, other than the food, is that there is at least, I'd say, a 35% chance one of us would be there.
And you get the mac and cheese bites.
And you can get those shrimp tacos, which are the king. You've gotten healthy on me lately.
I eat the hummus.
You eat the hummus. Who eats that? He does. At Horizons Bar and Grill.
I like hummus. Maybe I don't, but Horizon's got some great hummus.
But you look for them on their website. You can see their happy hour specials. Just a great place to hang out. And if you want to like a little upscale dinner, you can go in there for that as well. It's at Bannerman Crossing at the right off of Thomasville Road in Bannerman up there on the Northeast Tallahassee.
Tell them Headlines sent you.
Well, the important thing is support the people who help support Seminole Headlines. That's Horizons Bar and Grill. And thanks for listening to the podcast.
Seminole Headlines returns now. Head to YouTube and search for War Chant TV today to catch the show live or on demand. Now, here's Jeff Cameron, Ira Schofel, and Corey Clark.
Terry writes, good day, gentlemen and Corey. I don't know about you, but I am ready for this climb to begin. Rock bottom is rough. No question that you guys have an answer for. Keep up the good work. Okay, yeah, no, I don't. We don't probably
None of us like this.
No.
We don't.
It's tough.
It's tough.
Eric writes, if FSU's football team was a song immediately after the Louisville game, it would have been Lonesome Loser by the Little River Band. Wow, very rare reference to the Little River Band, in particular that song.
It's a nice ditty, though.
It's a jam, yeah.
It's a nice ditty. Okay.
Have you heard about the Lonesome Loser?
We don't need it, yeah.
He's
eaten by the Queen of Hearts every time.
It's just how I felt at the time. But after hearing Jeff and Ira on the Sunday Smash, it changed to Keep Your Head Up by Tupac.
I can't do that one.
Yep. They instilled some optimism in me. Given where we are right now, what song would the three of you attribute to this team?
Oof. Oh, God.
Don't Stop Believing?
Everybody Hurts.
He writes, I hope we haven't come to the end of the road, Boys to Men.
Okay.
And hate having to harken back to yesterday, Beatles, for fond memories, but we have to get off this crazy train, Ozzy, and get back in the saddle, Aerosmith, to our winning ways.
Are you adding those?
As always, thanks for keeping it rock ass solid.
Were you adding the bands, or were they in parentheses with him?
No, he.
I mean, I know
them.
You knew who they were.
I knew them, of course, but he added them.
Okay,
yes,
I got.
Yeah, no, that's fun, Eric. Fun with music.
so at least we're having some fun around here.
Yeah, we're having to get this kind of creative. What song would you? Oh man,
I mean, Everybody Hurts is the answer because that's all we're doing. I mean, this is just every week,
I'll co-sign that, buddy. It's funny how, like, and he takes the shot with the climb at the beginning. Willie would do something. People would love making fun of do something. Like, if all coaches have their little things, and they get
their
turned
mottos.
On them. They turn get turned on them quickly.
Especially when you go, like, I don't know, 3-10 to start your career. Mm-hmm. Those mottos have a way of getting flown in your face.
Kayvon writes, good afternoon, men. When will Ira make his sacrifice to the football gods and save Noel Nation? Shave your head, complete the Seminole Headlines trilogy of bald, and watch the wins stack up.
Not only is it not happening, but soon when Corey gets those stitches out, I'm switching back to that spot so my bald spot doesn't show up as
stitches
well.
Stitches come out today, folks. Stitches come out today after the show, so and then we'll be back.
Spots. Guys can't see the back of my head.
You'll be able to see the side of my fat face.
Carlos writes, Jeff, we need more of you on the post-game show telling people off. It's absolutely fantastic. Here's the question. What can we do?
Did you tell some people off?
So what happened is he was complimenting the people on the Sunday Smash. He was coming people that were giving messages. He's like, they're pretty reasoned. He goes, unlike some of the people last night on the post-game call-in show where he filled in for Tom Lane with Gene Williams, where he goes, well, there were a bunch of effing morons.
Didn't
love that. Some of the people,
it's our customer base. I mean,
other people did.
What were they calling in, or was the messages you saw? You didn't get any bad calls, right?
The messages mostly.
Yeah, mostly the messages.
Okay, all right. People are upset. There's a lot of, it's raw, man. You would think
a lot of stupidity.
Though. Well, look, it's fine. There's a lot of stupidity.
No, I didn't
say
it wasn't fine.
Well, what happens right now is, you know, when people are mad, which they have a right to be, as Mike Norvell said, they'll be mad about every single thing and point out things that are not necessarily true.
It's just so desperate, and I get it. I mean, I understand, but I'm going to say words. I'm just going to throw words out there that make no sense whatsoever, no rhyme nor reason. I didn't give any cogent thought to what I was about to type. I'm just typing in nonsense.
It's like you're criticizing Ira's writing.
It really is. Hitting close to home.
Hello, gents. Can any of you please ask Coach Norvell why does he defer to the second half when his defense starts so slow, putting his team down 7 seemingly every game? I love you guys, the show, and the great sponsors. That from Marlon. Thank you, Marlon.
Hey, but they're down 31. It doesn't matter. What does it matter when they get it? Yeah. But they did take that second half kickoff and score on the second play, and all of a sudden you're in a game.
Right.
It's 31-20. You've scored twice in the span of 2 drives. You're right back in the game.
Well,
and then
my point was, at that point, it's an 11-point game early in the third, so Louisville did not shut it down.
And right.
A ton of people have said that, but they didn't.
That's crazy
What does happen, which I'll give you, is that when you've got a big lead, it's hard to keep playing sharp for 4 quarters.
Yeah, mindset can shift a little bit.
So that can happen.
But they weren't throttled down. Like,
no, they weren't running the quarterback as much because, you know, he took some big hits.
I was about to say he got popped twice, and they slowed down that roll.
It's the reason you didn't hear us applauding the effort against Wake Forest in the second half when they only scored 1 touchdown. Because Wake Forest throttled down. That 100%. Wasn't the same offense. Louisville was running, trying to do the same thing they did in the first half.
Well,
Florida State just said, hell no.
Not today. Not
this
Jarvis Brownlee's watch.
Not this half. Malik.
They played with good technique, too, man. That's the other thing. Sometimes in the past,
you,
I've watched, I'm like, man, that's just the wrong. Not only are you out of place, it's the wrong technique.
But a good open field tackling?
Yeah, coming really in flying. Miko Dotson beating the
fourth
wide receiver.
The fourth down stop on the 4th and 2, man, that was exciting. Because
it looked like it was going to hit.
Well, they did everything right.
Yeah.
There was a run fit. They strung it out. They were ready and aware.
But when you figured out what the play was, you're thinking, okay, that's going to be
good.
It's going to
be good. And then, bam! Yeah. And it was violent.
Get you some,
a whole
Louisville.
Lot of suck it going
yeah, you
on right
won,
there.
But you felt it a little.
That was the weirdest thing about that. Did you, every school now puts out their little post-game, well, we don't ever get to see them for Florida State. But after wins, teams will put out their locker room little celebration videos on social media. Louisville put out one where Satterfield's, you know, and all the players are dancing. You guys got your heads beat in for the last 35 minutes of that game. Like, you weren't competitive on really on either side of the ball. The only Florida State didn't score in the red zone because
they don't score in the red zone.
But yeah. It wasn't like you guys played well in any category the last 35 minutes of that game.
Dub's a dub.
I got it, man.
I'm going to say this, though. Also, I don't know what we do about Fitzgerald, man.
Good question.
Hey, he came back and made the second one. That's it. Hey, that was – look, if he misses that kick, he's done. But he came back and made that.
After the two more important kicks he missed.
Well, hey, extra points, that's
fine. Let's make a damn extra point, killer. Yeah. That's ridiculous. And he looked bad doing it. It looked like timid and kind of half-assed.
And the one he missed, the field goal he missed, didn't look like it had much of a shot as soon as it left his foot. But credit to him. He did come back and make that was a big kick that he made to make it an 8-point game. I mean, I got love for you, Fitz. I think he's going to build off that.
Yeah.
He's going to build off that make.
Steve Wright,
how about try to score some touchdowns?
Yeah. Well, if you make an extra point in the field, you're only down four there. You're not scrambling for points there.
Then Parchment makes that play.
You never know. Steve Wright, gentlemen, thanks for the great show. What performance was worse this week in the FSU pass defense, the European Ryder Cup team, or Jeff's call screening performance? That is good. Yeah. I hung up on everybody, and I hung up on myself,
intentionally?
Apparently. No, I was trying to hang up on them after they had asked their question. There's a couple of drop buttons, and I would just, like, haphazardly hit drop, and I was dropping myself instead of them. And so,
that's tough to do all that at once. Man.
Yeah, that's on me. Yeah. I actually, part of the problem, too, is you have to care about the callers, and I didn't.
Right.
And so then it was kind of like, oh, man, this is not good. I mean, you got to. So then I got focused, and I started caring about them more. And I'm glad that I did, because once I figured out how not to drop myself and take care of the callers, we got a couple good calls. So that's really on me. It was a lesson learned.
Okay.
I'm going to get better moving forward also, guys.
Are you going to do it ever again?
Hope not. But I mean, I will say that if ever I'm in a pinch, I now know how to do it.
Good,
I have the process down and all
and
that.
And that gives Gene some confidence moving forward that he's got somebody in the bullpen.
Gene was overwhelmed. Gene was like, man, this is not even why we hired you. This is not what we asked of you. This is not why I'm paying
you
what I'm paying you.
Yeah.
He's like, but, you know, you really rallied in the second half of the call-in show. You seem to even care about some of what they
had to
say. Much
like the Florida State defense.
Yeah. So we really did mirror it. You're right. We all could feel better about me. The Knowles.
Things are turning around.
Norvell.
Yeah, what a week.
Ryan Fitzgerald.
What a week, everybody. Yeah. My God. We're going to be flying high by tomorrow's show. Here we go. Nicholas writes, so we have kids working hard and a culture slowly shifting. I clearly agree Coach Norvell is the man to get us where we want to go. Why aren't they winning some of these games? Are they trying too hard?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
And I don't think we don't know. I don't think the three of us clearly agree that Norvell is going to be the guy that gets them where they're supposed to go. You know what I mean? Nobody here thinks they're better, but nobody here thinks it's a sure thing.
No, it's certainly not a sure thing.
How could you? Nobody here is arguing he's done a bang-up job.
I think he's a good coach. He's made some mistakes,
yes,
and he's got a tough job.
But, you know.
It may not work.
This time in
2022. We could do the Rick Pitino speech. Bobby Bowden's not walking through that door, Corey.
Yeah.
Jimbo Fisher's not walking through that door,
Corey. Well, no, he did it about the players. Timmy Jernigan's not walking through that door.
I know. I'm just saying we could do it that way because we're always talking about coaches and firing coaches. Like, hey, man, Nick Saban ain't walking through that door, guys.
Right.
Bill Parcells still alive, not walking through that door.
Mark McHale's not walking through that door.
Yeah, that's right.
Brad Lawing's not walking through that door.
No, they're not walking through that door to
save
your ass.
Where's Bill Miller?
We're all we got.
Bill Miller would run through that door if you asked him, but he ain't coming either.
Who was the sorry-ass defensive ends coach that kept putting Yarbrough
on? Jody Allen.
Jody Allen.
May he rest in peace.
All right, well, he ain't walking through that door for sure, but I'm just saying.
Jeez.
He just lost.
It's his fault.
Right,
it's his fault. He made you look bad with that reaction.
We got
to. I just let it go past. I wasn't going to even react to it.
Okay, we're breaking on Seminole.
Seminole Headlines is brought to you by Register Sausage, serving the Florida Panhandle and Lower Alabama for over 75 years. To find a store near you or to buy directly from Registers, head to registermeats.com. That's registermeats.com.
Seminole Headlines returns now. Head to YouTube and search for War Chant TV today to catch the show live or on demand. Now, here's Jeff Cameron, Ira Schofel, and Corey Clark.
For the sideline watcher, Ira, what do you make of our DBs showing visible frustration with our sideline during the first half? At one point, screaming at them after the play. Disagreement on calls, frustration with calls, getting in late. Not a great look for Fuller.
Yeah, you know, it was obviously noticeable, and
you didn't have to be a sideline watcher to see that.
No,
really.
Yeah, you're right. But I did ask Fuller about it, and what he said was, and you can choose to believe this or not. What he said was that guys passionately wanted to communicate,
They want it too much.
No, that's not what he was saying. He said they're trying to communicate. Things aren't going well, so they're communicating like loudly and emphatically, trying to make sure everybody's on the same page because they were not on the same page, and it looks like frustration, not really frustration. That's the answer we were given.
Okay.
It looked like some guys might have been some frustration.
I think when Jarvis Brownlee was covering three receivers by himself,
that wasn't
he seemed
communicating.
Frustrated. Yeah. Well, he seemed frustrated.
So talking about them, Knowles writes, "All right, boys, top three wins of the Norvell era. let's hear them. All right, that's good.
Carolina's won.
Hey, here he goes. Yeah. But seriously, Fuller has coached 11 games against FBS schools at FSU. In the first half of those games, his defenses have given up 0, 38, 35, 7, 31, 24, 21, 21, 17, 27, and 31. Does get torched in the first half at an alarming rate. There is that 0 in there.
That was the Georgia Tech game.
Let's keep circling back to that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's more of an observation, really, than a question.
But, it's not
pertinent.
Yeah, it is. And they're awful to start games.
It would be good if that didn't happen against a Syracuse team that you wouldn't think is going to score a ton of points.
They scored. They beat Liberty, though, which is better than any win Florida State's had this year. And they put, I think it was 24-21, is that right? I think.
Yeah.
And they completed
field goal.
They completed 5 passes. They became like the first team since Paul Johnson's team to complete less than 6 passes and win a game.
Georgia Southern beat the Gators without completing a single pass.
Well, yeah, but in Paul Johnson
was more recent.
This was more recent.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. Well, right.
It was an opportunity.
Yeah. Well,
I was taking
sure.
a shot.
I took a shot.
Got it.
Man,
what this fan base wouldn't give for 4-8 right now.
Mm. Hang on.
Hang on.
You get one this weekend, then you got UMass. Yeah. We're on a roll.
You just start.
Next thing you know,
it starts feeding
itself. David writes, "Hey guys, has there ever been a more misfortunate fandom of college and pro than the 2021 Noles and Jaguar fans? Thanks for the championship level coverage each and every year." Yeah, David, if that's your plight, damn man. At least I'm a Buck and Knoll right now.
Not only are you losing every week, but you also have to cheer for Urban Meyer and Trevor Lawrence.
But you can revel in their downfall here because that is a weekly cluster. That's fun to watch. It's going to be a while.
Yeah, they even had that awesome kick return, the kick six thing, and still lost
108 yards.
2 touchdowns.
Yeah.
So Cromartie's record's still in the books, right? Because he has 109.5.
I think so.
You'll never beat that one.
Yeah.
I mean, he's almost touching the line out of bounds.
I remember watching that when it happened.
Me too. I remember going, holy hell, that's pretty remarkable. Yeah, it's always cool when you see something that you go, that can't be broken.
Yeah.
I mean, it's rare.
For 99-yard pass.
Yeah. What's the floor and ceiling for the basketball team this season? Robert wants to know. I'm hoping Leonard gets that final 4 he deserves. Love the show.
Practice starts Friday, by the way.
Boom!
And we're actually getting to talk to Leonard Hamilton and some of the players tomorrow. So you can look for that at warchant.com.
What time is that?
Not when we're posting it. What time? 2:30 in the afternoon. 2:15.
I'm on the air. They kill me with this.
I know.
I would say the ceiling is probably the final 4. I mean, you know, if you get the right matchups.
I do hear that they really like the pieces that they brought in. I've heard that they really like the Woods kid. Is it Woods? Is that the kid from Houston?
No.
What's his last name?
Mills?
No. Mills.
Mills.
Yeah.
I knew it was a one word plural. I had that down. Could have been trucks, boxes.
Yeah, it could have been so many things.
But anyway, I've heard they really like him. Cameron Fletcher from Kentucky.
Yeah, and then you have the Cleveland kid. Like you have some guys that can go get their own points. It's just a matter of how good they'll be defensively.
And how it comes
so many
together.
New bodies.
4 games in, and here we are talking basketball. And seriously,
basketball school.
And the soccer team is still undefeated.
We're a lot of things. We're a very really good beach volleyball school. Really good in soccer.
Gotta get a championship.
Really, with the
beach volleyball.
I know. Bitch forever, and then they did it in soccer multiple times.
The bridesmaids so many times.
Come on,
you're gonna need to go ahead and get that championship.
They'll get there. They'll get there.
Good.
They play for championships. They're out there. They'll get one.
Well, that's what they're out there practicing for right now.
That's right. They'll get there, but not football.
Not anytime soon.
Got to get to 3 wins. Can we get to 3 wins this year?
Then double it next year, and then double it again the year after that.
Boom.
That's all you got to do.
There it is. Good afternoon. Roadmap. I like it. Mm. Good afternoon, fine sirs. When the bamboo sprouts, this is Gator Kirk. Do you believe that the offensive players will get panda helmet stickers? Will there be a daily double this Saturday with Parents Weekend and a yay sausage win? Thanks for all the coverage. Corey, welcome to the MOHS Club. Go Noles.
What's that mean?
Did I screw this up somehow? Am I supposed to pronounce that differently? Mohs? M-O-H-S? What is that?
I don't know. Maybe something to do with the skin.
Skin cancer terminology, fellas.
Oh, there
you
go.
Thank you.
Tom knows that.
Thanks, Tom.
You should know that.
Hey,
you're dealing with it.
Thanks for welcoming me. They didn't say anything about MOH. They just said your nose is going to be effed up for a while.
Mm. They were unscientific with their approach.
That's the medical explanation.
But that, you know, maybe that bamboo sprouts next year. And when it sprouts, it's going to be glorious. But you got to get better quarterbacks.
And when it does sprout, 90 feet.
Oh, you looked it up, right? Yeah. So it's not 90 feet in a day.
It's like within a few days, I think.
Oh, I thought you said it was like 6
Once
weeks.
It sprouts,
or
it's
weeks.
Going.
A few weeks.
90 feet, huh?
In like 5 weeks.
Travis, I am jealous. This is not a question. He notes that he's going to be in Muscle Shoals watching Drive-By Truckers with Jason Isbell this weekend. Damn, man, that is really cool. During our game, so he doesn't have to watch.
But you're going
to
miss the Florida State Syracuse
yeah,
game.
Yeah, devastating. Stuart writes, am I an idiot for feeling like the program is getting healthier? You're not.
No.
The team is no good, but the team lags behind the program. The team was good while the program was getting worse behind the scenes, and then finally it caught up. Now the team is bad while the program is getting better and will eventually catch up again. I feel like Norvell is getting the program healthy, and the team will eventually get better as a result. I think he is the guy, guys.
Stuart, I mean, that's the hope.
That's well done, sir. I actually like the analysis there. Yes, yeah. Things were getting more and more toxic towards the end, even in the midst of a 10-3 season.
Yeah.
And we saw that. We were actually having these conversations. I remember going on the air and arguing with Tom that those people who were making fun of Jimbo and saying that the further he gets away from Jameis Winston's run, the more we're going to start to believe that was just Jameis Winston, which we all know was not true, but it started to look more and more like it was.
Well, and if he had come back for 2018, right? They were coming off of what maybe would have been 7-6.
Maybe.
People would have made the excuses about DeAndre Francois getting hurt, and then now that he's back, this was a blip, and they would have been pricked probably preseason top 10 again that next year.
Mm-hmm.
When we probably would have been like,
no chance.
Yeah.
Because so it was a disaster.
Well, it was a horrible offensive line that they had put together. A horrible one.
Oh,
and I don't know what
you
could have
done. You
don't say. Yeah, it was a horrible one. That was the worst one of the bunch, I think.
That is the number one thing, by the way.
I think that 18 group is the worst of the bunch.
This group right here, buddy.
This group is young.
You don't have as many guys running free.
Yeah,
and again,
you're putting up 450 yards. That 2018 team couldn't do jack squat against anyone.
No, I know. It was terrible. But, boy, just from an ability standpoint, this is a tough group.
They're young, man. I think you got some guys that can play.
They're not that young. I mean, they've had some veteran guys out there getting their ass kicked, too.
Well, right. But they had that 2018 team wasn't ravaged by injuries.
It was some of the guys that they didn't want to start this year were playing then.
Yeah, Big Baby was on that squad.
He's been here.
He can tell some stories.
Yeah, he's been here 10 years. Oh, man. What is the over-under of coaches who will not be a part of the team November 28th?
Two.
I mean, it depends on what happens from here.
No, you just get looking for a...
Depends on what happens from
sure
here.
Sure it does.
The over-under, yeah, the over-under.
Right now.
Over-under is probably...
Well, you got to set it 1.5 to have fun.
You got to get the hook. I think that I would put it at... I'd put it at 1.5, I think.
1.5 is the number.
Yeah.
So are you going over
based
or
on
under?
What we know right now,
over.
I'd go over.
I'm going over.
Based on what we know right now.
Yeah.
But some people could save their jobs.
Yeah. Hey, Fuller, literally, I think Fuller... What are the chances that if they give up 60 in that game, if the second half goes like the first half, that we would have talked to him on Monday, that like he would still have a job?
That's a tough conversation.
Because I mean,
that's like, I don't even know why you roll a guy out there at that point. That's just humiliating.
No, but I'm saying like, I think he would have not had the job. I think there's a good chance if the second half had gone like the first half, he might not have had an office on Sunday morning. That's how bad it had got. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think there's a legitimate chance.
I couldn't say it wouldn't have happened.
And then they went out and were 2013 all over again. Maybe that's what he said, guys.
Thank you, Eric. I think I see it from a distance.
Eric Angel.
Appreciate you, Eric. Always
a pillar.
Coming through hardcore. Tom writes, I think Gene touched on it a couple of losses ago on the postgame wrap-up. Is this product on the field the disease or just the symptom of the disease? With a new academic president and with little to no shot of the board hiring a new AD who is SEC committed to football, are we destined to be a mediocre team forever? Well, I would say no.
No.
I think the difference between us and the two-year turnaround schools you've been talking about this week is likely their commitment to pancakes with extra syrup. I don't think Boston College is committed in that sort of way, and they've had a nice turnaround. Pittman maybe at Arkansas, but he's done a really good job. He's got a good quarterback and a really elite receiver. And
Warren Thompson
over there. And moreover, they've got an offensive line that can block. They dominated up front against Texas. Now, they struggled a little bit against Texas A&M's defensive line, but they did enough. Those are great stories, man, but every situation is very different. And, you know, you can't liken each second-year coach in situation to the same thing.
It doesn't help Mike Norvell, though.
No. We're not saying Mike has done a better job than those. Hey, listen, what Mel Tucker's doing at Michigan State is insane. They're 4-0. He's replaced 40 players on the roster.
But don't you remember?
Is this his second year or first year?
Yeah, second year.
Remember when...
Well, hell, Norvell's got to be close to that in 2 years. When you talk about the recruits and the transfers, it's
definitely like around the same number.
It's got to be close to the same number.
But he's not winning games, so nobody brings that up.
Well, he doesn't have the guy that's leading the nation in rushing. But Michigan State does.
When you but to go back to 2011, though, at that time, we were all talking, because Jimbo, you know, they ended 2010 so well. They, you know, beat Florida, looked really good in the bowl game, and there was that talk because of what Urban Meyer had done and Bob Stoops had won national titles in year two. We were like, hey, man, year two is the year. And then when it didn't happen, we're like, hey, he didn't. What happened? Why didn't you have that big year two jump? Mm-hmm. Well, then 2 years later, they won a national title.
Right.
So just, I just don't think you can compare all these.
No,
situations.
It's just right now it's unfortunate for Florida State fans and Norvell to see what's going on at other second-year coaching schools.
We're going to but there's a lot of others that are not having any success either. So, So Mason writes this, and I want to give a comment on this because I saw it firsthand. I mean, kind of. He writes, gents, after watching Norvell answer the question about recruiting that Corey asked, how does every member of this team not just run through a wall for that guy? If someone cared that much about me each and every day, I don't think that I would ever be late to a meeting, not show up locked in. Do the other members of the coaching staff just not come off the same way as Norvell? No, I don't think there's a lack of work ethic or commitment here with this group, and I don't think it's a lack of passion or focus or desire, and I do think his players and coaches have immense respect for Mike Norvell. And the way he, you know, the old saying, the way you do anything is the way you do everything. I think that's true with Mike Norvell. I saw some of it just, you know, when there was no press around. I mean, I saw that when we went in to do our fun little thing for the spring game. He was so excited to talk to me and Andy and Andrea and Gene. It was crazy, like, because everything's scheduled, as you know. Everything is scheduled to the minute. When we got up on the top floor and we came walking around the corner, he's like, all right, and right outside.
And he's early.
Always early. He goes walking in. He's like, here we go. Let's go. Let's go. This is going to be fun. And we sat down. He started talking about how they game prep. And he was kind of giving us insight as to, and he was showing us on the whiteboard, you know, the different situational play calling sheets and what they were trying to arrive at and what they were doing game plan wise. And he was explaining all that and answering questions, but he did it with great enthusiasm and attacked the situation and the job. And I think he does that at all times. We've watched the practices. He's always energetic. I mean, he's never like lackadaisical.
Did he tell you guys what to call with 6 seconds left?
If the team's at the 40 and they got to go 60 yards in six seconds.
He assumed that everybody would play on the up and up and not be listening to everybody's calls on the headset, which is unfortunate. Yeah.
The one thing, it's a great point, and I think that if you watch the video, the Seminole Boosters put out these videos. They'll send them to, you have to be a booster to get them. Somebody forwarded it to me. Of his speech after the Wake Forest game. And I thought that tone came across. He wasn't yelling at them for playing poorly. It was like he was admonishing them for not playing well, but in a tone that they could feel how much he cared about them.
Mm-hmm.
So I think all that stuff is good, man. I mean, all that stuff is real. That's why I do think he can be the guy, but you can't say it's for sure going to happen because of what we've seen so far. The results just haven't
right come. Now, he's much better Sunday to Friday than he 100%. Was on Saturday, and that's a problem.
That's part of it.
Yeah.
I do believe that the day-to-day operations, the enthusiasm and work ethic.
That's a bigger part of the job.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is. At some point, results have to come.
I'm saying that will come, but it is going to take longer than anybody wants, including him and those players.
Well, and Jimbo,
you're
going
to have to seriously upgrade what you have here.
Jimbo didn't win a national title because of that play sheet in front of him.
Right.
He won the national title because of
Jimmy's and Joe's,
a culture he built that brought in players like that. I mean, he just brought in
incredible
players.
Well, and once you bring in two or three locker room changers, game changers, impactful leaders, both physically and then also with the way they go about their business, it can turn things pretty quickly. I mean, you can go from being a damn terrible team to all of a sudden you're 500 and the next year you won 9 games and nobody's even thinking about it. But from where we sit right now, they're 0-4, and they've been bad prior to this for a number of years. So it's just like piling on.
It's exhausting.
And nobody wants to hear, it's going to be about 3 years. Well, and nobody wants to hear.
Somebody over at FSU made this point to me that from a fan base standpoint,
you're exhausted.
Ticked off about 5 years of this.
Yeah.
It started at the end of Jimbo's
job. It's not just the second year you've been mad. It's the fifth year.
And you've been mad about the offensive line for 4 or 5 years.
So think about it. Jimbo was 5-6 when he exited the program. We were livid when he was 5 and 6. We were like, this is ridiculous. Fans were challenging him to fights going off the field. So, or he was challenging fans to fights. So
yeah, they were just saying, get new coaches.
Yeah, so he was angry about that. So that's how long ago this level of frustration started. And then now, of course, Mike's in the unenviable position, and so was Willie, for that matter, of inheriting that anger and frustration. It's only gotten more increased over time.
But that's the thing. It's like if you started dating a girl who had 2 or 3 really terrible relationships.
Yeah. You shouldn't pay the price.
You shouldn't get yelled at for the crap they were doing. I guess if you're still doing the same things that they were doing, hey, you don't take out the trash either.
Yeah. Or you'd have to understand they're broken, and then you got to deal with that and say, okay, we'll fix this over time. We'll get this fixed.
Not all. Because a man's job isn't to fix a woman.
No, I'm saying.
Understand that. You understand?
No, what I'm saying.
I mean, what are we doing, guys?
I'm saying if you made a choice to date a broken woman.
I appreciate you taking that stand, Corey.
Thanks. Yeah. If you made a choice to do that, you'd have to know what you're getting into. So what I'm saying is Mike has to understand, and he does apparently, that the wrath of that, the anger from these fans, the brokenness, he just has to wear.
Looking for any reason to be upset. They're looking for any reason to be upset. Yeah. Like an 0-4 start.
Come back, wrap it up momentarily on Seminole Headlines.
Seminole Headlines returns now. Head to YouTube and search for War Chant TV today to catch the show live or on demand. Now, here's Jeff Cameron, Ira Schofel, and Corey Clark.
Tyler writes, more than likely see more. I know it's popular for knee-jerk reactions these days, and certainly no one was expecting an 0-4 start to the season, but I am seeing some takes that just historically don't make a lot of sense. Even T. Lizzie bordered on calling Norvell incompetent on the JCS after the Wake game.
What?
Oh, I don't think he did that.
He bordered on it.
I'll cite the ever-popular advanced metrics to tell a story on Mike Norvell as an offensive mind.
Just like I did with, FIMRA.
At Memphis, he took the yards per play from 30th in the country when Fuente left to 29th, and then 3 straight years in the top 10, including the top 3.
Boom.
He took points per play from 22nd in the country when Fuente left to 16th, and then 3 straight years in the top 7.
Let's go.
When he took over FSU, we were coming off consecutive yards per play seasons of 109th and 86th, and points per play ranked 114th and 84th. By the way, those Taggart offenses also had Cam Akers and Terry, which I will kindly say this offense does not. Mike Norvell didn't forget how to coach an offense. He is starting from essentially bottom of the barrel with an offensive roster that is devoid of almost any talent at all. Your best players are 2 running backs who are a castaway transfer with injury concerns and a former walk-on.
He was not a castaway transfer.
And injury concerns and a former walk-on. I agree with Jeff that the staff is rat-trapping occasionally with play calls at times because they are in a hole, and those are glaringly bad when evaluating games after losses. But Norvell and Dillingham have shown a record.
So he thought this might be a Seymour?
Yeah, it's pretty obvious.
Of being really good at this when they get time to build their system with their players. Hopefully this rebuild is like having kids. The days are long, but the years go quickly. Well done, sir. Go Noles. Actually, that's fine. I do think Tyler's pretty much spot on right there.
Yeah, man.
Good, man. It needs to start happening at Florida State. We get it. We don't think that he can't coach. But that what you did at Memphis 2 years ago and 3 years ago.
But he's showing the progress. I think he's pointing through, again, that there was progress, and once it was sustained.
That's perfectly – I'm with him 100%. Yeah, and I believe in Mike Norvell. There are some issues, though. The fact that, you know, they put a lot into Jordan Travis and what he'd be able to do this year. And it's not just the injury or injuries. It wasn't showing up before that.
Yeah, but we all watched those practices and thought he had made great strides.
But again, that's their job to evaluate that. Put him in positions to challenge.
They're not letting Jeff Cameron say, oh, Jordan Travis looks better as being the reason that Jordan Travis is the... But
I'm just saying, people, it's
the
fair.
The point would be, it's fair to be angry at 0-4. It's fair to say, I wonder if this is going to get worked out. It's also fair to say that guys don't suddenly forget how to coach when they've had a sustained track record of being very good at coaching.
And we watch him coach. Watch him coach, he knows how to coach. He's a good coach.
Till Dog, thanks you very much for the donation. Get Brady Clark ready to be our quarterback, Corey.
He wants to play football, by the way. But he only wants to play football if he can be the quarterback. Okay, I told him that's not how
gonna have to grow
it works.
Siles T, thank you for your contribution. No comment. Sky Ninja, thank you. No comment. Eric Angel, boycotting Noles if they can't beat the Cuse. Ooh.
Don't do that, Eric Angel. They need you now more than ever, but
so
thank you.
Silas T, because we were thinking of Slyest or Silist.
Siles T. And Kevin S. says, could a win loosen things up and get the team looking different? Thank you, Kevin, by the way. Yeah, sure. Winning a game would take a little heat off you.
Be cool to see.
You done burden yourself.
Be cool to see how they handle
a
win. Then we could write all the stories about how they're going to handle success. The big dub over
Syracuse. Yeah, they're going to get the big head.
Big head after the win over Syracuse.
Big head all of a sudden. take people for granted.
The big head.
They'll get the big head from back in the day.
If they lose, I mean, you got to start winning. I mean, we do believe that he's made this pro. This team is better than last year's team. It's incremental, but it's better. But if you go out and you're 0-5 and you've lost four home games, three of which were to Jacksonville State, Louisville, and Syracuse, yeesh.
Our mutual friend Rick Jones writes, what is the football team's record since the Silver Fox has forced questions from the unwashed masses, a.k.a. Twitter?
Very good point, Rick. Very, very good point, Rick. Mm. I don't think they've won a game, honestly. If I'm thinking about it, I don't think they've won a game.
may have to mull this over.
That's a toughie. He's calling out the Silver Fox right here, right now.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure the Facebook fans were a part of a 13-0 campaign, right? 14-0 campaign. They were the Facebookians. We're won 29 straight games, and then Twitter comes here. You can't even get first downs in the first half now.
I can't read a couple of these questions. They're good, but they're unacceptable.
Mm.
I mean, we've pushed the envelope enough today with some jokes. There's some here that are...
Not really we. Yeah. I guess I'm a part of it as the collective.
Yeah, and I saw a smirk and a bit of a smile. I'm just saying.
If we've got another minute or so... Are you watching Peyton?
You got 1 minute. They're great.
Peyton and Eli?
They're great.
It's awesome.
Are you watching it?
Yeah, something's wrong with my TV where I feel like the noise of the game is too loud and I can't hear them.
It must be there's some sort of setting on your TV.
I can't hear them really well.
By the way, that happens for me every time ABC has a game.
It's a setting on your TV. It's
ridiculous. Why would that even be a thing?
You can't have, I mean, if you desperately desired to hear what Kirk Herbstreit was saying, you couldn't if you wanted
but
to.
But the Manning is, I don't need the interviews that much. I mean, they're funny.
No, I agree.
But I don't need the Saban and LeBron. I just like them talking about football. Or at least let them talk about, like the Stafford one I like because that's an NFL player current, and they're talking about current NFL stuff.
I like when you pointed out the guy getting his belly rubbed.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, is my man getting his belly rubbed? Yeah, it's a good way to watch it. And I started thinking, that's the future of broadcasting.
Well,
right? Like, couldn't the three of us watch a game?
They do have a lot that works in that group.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff.
Well, because those two guys, obviously, they got the football savants, and they played at such a
level. Well, they give each other grief.
That's exactly. Music, boys. We got to say goodbye. Good work, Matthew. Good work, Tom. And for Ira and Corey, I'm Jeff. Thanks for listening, everybody. Be well. We'll talk to you again next week. Take care.